The Lord be with you. Welcome, welcome in the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus. Great to see all of you today. We pray God's blessings on our time together. Today is Jubilate Sunday, a day of jubilation. It seems like Easter was so long ago already, but we are still basking in the glow of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus from the dead. Our opening hymn reminds us of that jubilation that is ours each and every day in Jesus Christ. We are also very, very honored and very, very blessed today. We have the National Director for Lutherans for Life as our special guest preacher today. Been here for the early service and for our Bible study time. He'll be on the Y Factor on our radio station at 2 o'clock this afternoon. Chapel at Concordia Seward, I believe tomorrow. Chapel for our school kids on Tuesday. Reverend Michael Salamank, and we are very, very pleased and honored to have you with us. And we are a very, very much a life congregation, thanking God for his gift of life from womb to tomb, and pray that God would continue to bless us and encourage us in that way. A couple of words on our worship service for this morning. The outline for our 10:30 service begins on page 5 in our bulletin. Page 5, our opening hymn, number 483, "With High Delight, Let Us Unite." Following that hymn, we'll follow Divine Service Setting 1. Divine Service Setting 1, page 151 and following. Have a worship insert for the day. The readings are on one side. Propers are on the other. For our hymn of praise, we'll sing "This is the Feast." We'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time. Before we sing, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings that you shower down upon us. We thank you for the gift of life. We thank you for the gift of Jesus, whose victory over sin, death, and the grave has given us new life through the forgiveness of sins and life everlasting. Heavenly Father, as we live this life, there are so many things and so many voices that attack us and tear us down. Heavenly Father, there are many times when we are left without hope. Lord God, you are the God of hope. You give us hope in any and every situation. Hope has taken on flesh and blood, lived and dwelt among us, suffered and died on Calvary's cross, risen victorious from the grave, and is really present with us through word and sacrament. This hope is our Lord and Savior Jesus. Fill us with this hope today and tomorrow. And forever. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hymn 483.
Thank you.
Divine Service, setting one, page 151. Page 151, please stand as you're able. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We sing together the introit appointed for the day.
Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Alleluia. Sing the glory of his name. Give to him glorious praise. Alleluia. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies come cringing to you.
Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
for this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Almighty God, you show those in error the light of your truth, so that they may return to the way of righteousness. Grant faithfulness to all who are admitted into the fellowship of Christ's church, that they may avoid whatever is contrary to their confession and follow all such things as are pleasing to you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Continue with the readings. Please be seated.
The Old Testament reading for the fourth Sunday of Easter is from Lamentations. Chapter 3. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. Let him sit alone in silence when it is laid on him. Let him put his mouth in the dust. There may yet be hope. Let him give his cheek to the one who strikes, and let him be filled with insults. For the Lord will not cast off forever, but though he cause grief, he will have compassion, according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he does not willingly afflict or grieve the children of men. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from 1 John chapter 3. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself as He is pure. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 16th chapter. Jesus said, "A little while, and you will see me no longer, and again a little while, and you will see me." So some of his disciples said to one another, "What is this that he says to us? A little while, and you will not see me, and again a little while, and you will see me, and because I am going to the Father." So they were saying, "What does he mean by a little while? We do not know what he is talking about." Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him, so he said to them, "Is this what you are asking yourselves? What I meant by saying, 'A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me'? Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish, for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also you will have sorrow now. But I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Sing now hymn 809, "Great is Thy Faithfulness." Please be
In the name of Jesus, amen. Hear the word of the Lord from the first epistle of Peter. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison, because they formerly did not obey when God's patience waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through water. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you. Not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers, having been subjected to him. Again, in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy. Always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. But who's asking? Who's asking about hope? Who's going to ask about our hope? And why would they have to ask us, Mr. St. Peter? Wake up and smell the progress. Welcome to the Roman Empire, Mr. St. Peter. Not sure if you realize it or not, but you're writing during the good old days. This is the golden age, the height of human civilization. We are living in a time that is so great they give it its own name, the Pax Romana. It's an awesome age beyond the best years that Egypt or Babylon or Greece ever saw. We are talking two solid centuries of military tranquility, unheard of in world history. Look at all of our political unity and our economic stability. You can check out all of our technological innovations and philosophical insights. They compose tomes and poems about these times. They paint masterpieces and put up monuments of our society. They're going to name half the calendar after our era. Our cultural achievements will epitomize Western civilization for millennia to come, imitated by many but duplicated by none. You want to talk about hope? Ha! Carpe this diem! What's that? How's it working out? You mean, how's that all working out for us? Well, we consider women to be property. Then we treat slaves like animals. Our most popular superstitions involve sacrifice. Sometimes we even sacrifice our children. We do encourage rampant promiscuity. We approve of prostitution. We engage in rank perversion. Government corruption abounds. Judicial discrimination can be bought. We accept rife fraud in commerce. We persecute minorities. We oppress the poor. We discard the elderly. I'm running out of fingers. We exile the disabled. We abort or abandon babies. Days are long. Lives are short. Now, what were you saying about hope again? You still have any of that left? Well, it didn't work out so well for the Roman Empire. But we have the 21st century formula. We have trademarked the new, improved humankind. And we have discovered what previous peoples lacked. We have become enlightened finally after 2,000 years' experience, and we can manufacture satisfaction. We have! Our medical advances have extended life expectancy to its longest in human history. Our automated mechanisms have lowered costs and increased leisure for everybody. Our agricultural revolutions have produced surplus resources and equitable property distribution. We are establishing representative, fair government the world over, while at the same time we're exploring outer space. We're weaving together a global legal system that reflects justice, finally, in education and employment, a system that respects personal choice in self-expression and sexuality. We have come to know now how to cooperate rather than trying to conquer each other like those barbarians did in the ages past. We see that every civilization is equally valid, and human beings are not superior to any other creature. So, who needs hope anymore? And who would ask Christians about hope anyway, Mr. Preacher Man? You may not know this, but in the 21st century, we have long since showed Christians to be unsuccessful. The number of Christians in the world is decreasing. Just attend your local parish on Sunday morning, you will see more empty than full. Christianity is obsolete, it's irrelevant. And if you ask me, since you brought it up, Christians are kind of pathetic. They're ignorant about science. They're gullible. They'll believe fairy tales. They're unrealistic about the future. And frankly, they are lazy. Christians are intolerant. They're arrogant. They are annoying and just mean. They are inconsistent. They can't decide what it is that they think is right or wrong. They're hypocritical. They'll tell you to do one thing and do the exact opposite. Christians only get themselves ridiculed and imprisoned and tortured and murdered the world over, clinging to their debunked delusions. Their kind of hope, with its ludicrous traditions and absurd doctrines and silly little rituals, just leaves them as fundamentalist losers. Wait, what? Are we happy? What do you mean, am I happy? We have become a prosperous and powerful people, haven't we? I have to say, we're quite attractive and rather productive, wouldn't you agree? We are the generation that is winning history. We are winning history. Now, I suppose we're a little bit workaholic, and all that workaholism hasn't added a whole lot to the joy and the beauty in the world. And I guess we're kind of obsessed with physical youthfulness. And really, that hasn't led to a whole lot of fulfillment the way that we thought that it would. I will grant that liberating sexuality from marriage or childbearing, well, that hasn't laid to rest all guilt or grief or fear the way that we were promised it was gonna. Have to acknowledge that aborting on demand, experimenting on embryos, that hasn't eliminated discomfort or disease or dysfunction. And I will admit that sometimes we make unwise deals with death. Yes, we are a culture that uses death as a solution to suffering. But what we have found is that death does not destroy suffering or even control it. It just transfers it from the dead person to the survivors who now grieve and feel guilty. And actually, what I see we're progressing in is isolation. What we're getting better at is being more abusive, more dependent upon chemicals. What's expanding is anger and conflict. What's multiplying is evil. So no, I'm not exactly celebrating. I'm actually settling. That's kind of what we do. As human beings, we settle. Settle for what's right in front of us. Why do we do that? Why do we keep on doing that? You know, I think when we're honest with ourselves, I think each one of us secretly senses that we have to settle. Because this is the best we're going to get. People like us, they don't win. We suspect deep down that we have made this bed and we deserve to lie in it. You know as well as I do that we are the kind of people, you and me, who let go of what's right for us so that we can get our hands instead on what's right be for us. You know that we are the kind of creatures who gravitate toward what we can own rather than waiting to be given what we will enjoy. And oh, we have learned how to accept ourselves. And so we accept ourselves as cheap imitations and poor replacements for the Almighty Maker, the one who created us with a God-shaped, God-sized space within that He intended to fill so that we might be complete. But instead, we pack our God-sized heart hole with anything else that's available to us until it turns into a self-inflicted injury, and then we hide it because we think even God couldn't heal this mess. We would rather hurt on our own terms than delight on God's terms. And I don't know about you, but to me that feels an awful lot like hell. Nevertheless, my friends, that is the gospel of Jesus Christ in one word. Nevertheless, hope persisted. Hope persists. Hope has a thicker skin than anything we can throw at it. Hope has a stiffer spine than the weight we lay upon it. Christian hope. That's what Christianity is about. Hope has a better way. There is a better life for you. The gospel tells us that God smiles. In this, hope smiles. God smiles so much that He can even stomach us. God smiles enough in hope to save this. You may not realize it, but we actually underestimate God. I think it's because we imagine ourselves as gods, and so we envision that God's similar to us, only more of it. Except God doesn't give up so easily like we do. God remains wonderfully steadfast long after we would have called it a night. He stays magnificently stubborn even after we would have thrown in the towel. And with all the vigor of a Father and a Son and the Holy Spirit, God pesters our failures with His hope. God pesters our pain with His hope. He badgers the tragedies, hounds the wreckages, however unexpected and inescapable they appear, until He wrings respect for Him. Until He wrings respect for us from evil. God makes the bad things respect you and renders death itself gentle. Because Christ Jesus is Lord, I mean Jesus is God here. He has come in the flesh, remember? The embryo, the peasant, the body, and the blood. He has suffered the way that you do, physically, visibly, right alongside humankind. Jesus knows, and no one ever suffers alone. Jesus is the God who invades the world, but not just the popular places and the power structures and the pretty people. No, Jesus is the God who invades the world's poverties. And He invades the promiscuities, and He dwells with us in our perversions, and He incarnates God amid humankind's frauds and floods and infections, and He sets up His throne in our failure. Jesus is the God who takes on fear and indifference. He's the one who undertakes our guilt and our grief for us. He abides all the contempt and the conflict that we throw at each other, that we throw at Him. And Jesus is the God who accompanies the feeble. He walks alongside the unborn persons. Jesus is the God of the infant and the adolescent. He is the champion of the impaired persons, the king of the elderly ones. Jesus is the God who escorts loners and losers and lazy ones like us right on in to the everlasting kingdom of the Heavenly Father, where we reign with him over the new creation. Jesus involves God in those dependencies and discomforts that would make destruction of us, because Christ Jesus is Lord of all of this. And there is no movement that goes to waste. He presses every atom in the universe into service. This is what it means that he has ascended to subject all powers to his good and gracious will. This is the one who has brought salvation out of his own servanthood. He is the one who rules the cosmos. This is the one who has wrought heaven, built it out of his own homelessness. He is the one now who orders all of history. The one who worked for you forgiveness. Yes, forgiveness for you. For that, you are forgiven. Because of his crucifixion, now he is the Savior who's got his fingers in everybody's destiny. The one who reaped for us an everlasting life from his own execution is now the Lord who choreographs all of our times and our troubles. The one who is able to derive resurrection from his rejection is the Redeemer who pulls the strings on your life and your losses. This is the one who took the worst thing that ever happened in human history and made it into the greatest gift God could give to humankind. He takes hardship and turns it into hope, because Christ Jesus is Lord. And he does what's best, not just what's easiest. He makes folks get better and not just feel better. This Jesus is a God who knows how to take care of what belongs to him, and you belong to him. He died to purchase you. He owns you. And he is proud. He is well pleased to be your Savior. Jesus is the God who can relieve his children in such a way that even while they are still in the midst of despair, they may express the encouragement that they've come to trust in. Jesus knows how to redeem his people so that when we are still under the weight of our dread, we can enjoy the confidence that we found in his unconditional acceptance. He consecrates his household. He sanctifies his church so that our aching and our bleeding and our woundedness can reflect the gentleness and the generosity that we still possess even as we go through it. However broken you are, you sparkle with the enthusiasm and the maturity that the gospel invites you to lose yourself in. There are no requirements, no qualifications, no restrictions, no limitations. Yes, we are a hot mess, but we are God's own mess because Christ Jesus is Lord of this. So my friends, they're gonna ask. They're going to ask about the hope that they see in you. Hearts will ask, what hope is there in unintended pregnancy? And we will answer, the Word became flesh just like this and dwelt among us, and he bore all of our griefs and sorrows. But your friends are going to wonder, what hope is there in tiny zygotes and microscopic embryos? And we will declare to them that God chose what is low and despised in the world so that no human being might boast. And the relatives will come to us and they will inquire, how is there hope in congenital abnormalities, in being born with a disability? And we will proclaim to them that we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. The neighbors are going to implore us, how is there hope in hanging on to a conflicted marriage? And we will confess that we are his workmanship, and what God has joined together, no one may put asunder. The acquaintances will insist, what hope is there for the unresponsive patient? And we will get to testify to them that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. And you can be sure that they are gonna ask, because you have hope in you, and they will see it, and your colleagues will demand of you, why is there hope in miscarriage, in barrenness? And you will verify to them that he who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all will with him graciously give us all things. But your clients are gonna question you, where is the hope for somebody who has taken part in an abortion, in an assisted suicide? And you are going to rejoice to be able to respond to them that if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more shall the many be saved by his life. There is no sin so awful that it has not already been forgiven and redeemed by Jesus Christ. But the critics will object, where's the hope in modesty, in chastity? And you will assert to them that he is transforming our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body. The skeptics are going to come to you because you have hope, and they're going to speculate, can I have this hope when the damage is irreversible, when the condition is incurable? And I know that you're going to rejoice when you get to assure them that this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory that is beyond all comparison. And my friends, the sufferers are going to come to you, and they are going to plead, can I have a hope because my diagnosis is terminal? And it is going to be your privilege and your delight to promise them that if one member suffers, we all suffer together, for whether we live or we die, we are the Lord's. You want to know why? You want to know how? You want to know more? Partner with Lutherans for Life. We just want to help Lutherans think and talk and act with the gospel of Jesus Christ to respect and protect every human being as a precious treasure of God, because there is humanity even in suffering. There is enjoyment even in the unexpected. Opportunity when there is uncertainty. There is promise even in weakness, because wherever there is a shred of life left, there is God's grace and Christ's compassion. And this is God who never gives up, and neither do his people. My brothers and sisters, whatever the circumstances, there is hope. Because if there is hope for us, there is hope for anyone. There is hope for everyone. Hope for life that is abundant now in the body of Christ. And hope for an everlasting life in the kingdom to come. God grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen. And may the same Lord who has himself begun this good work in you carry it on to its completion at the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Having heard the word of our crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ, we confess our common Christian faith. In the words of the Nicene Creed, we stand.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten and not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us then, and for our salvation, came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to his scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. In addition to the prayer requests as listed in your news and notes, we remember Good Shepherd members who are at the hospital currently: Ron Kimes, Arlene Haydenfelt, and Doretta Kleinkopf. We also remember Ron Weckman, Sheila Turek's father, who is having medical issues. We remember Sylvia Yoder, who has been diagnosed with cancer. And we remember the family of Rick Prohaska, father of Lisa Etherton, who passed away this week. For the bride of Christ, his holy church, that she would shout for joy to God and sing the glory of his name in response to the hope of salvation, the sure and certain hope that she has in the perfect life and sacrificial death of Jesus, her bridegroom. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those called and ordained to be stewards of the mysteries of God, that they would be diligent in their studies, faithful in their prayers, steadfast in their faith, and compassionate towards those they serve. For all those who are in preparation for this office, especially former vicar Evan Scammon, receiving a divine call this week, Good Shepherd member Mark Kranz, receiving a vicarage assignment this week, and for the vicar who will be sent to us here at Good Shepherd. For all who are traveling to the services in Fort Wayne, especially the Poppies and the Canouses, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For Reverend Michael Salamink and the work of Lutherans for Life, that a culture of life founded on the hope we have in Christ would permeate our congregations and go forth into a world obsessed with death. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who are threatened by a culture of death, including the unborn, the aged, the infirm, and the disabled, that God would raise up voices to speak on their behalf and to defend their dignity. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick and the hospitalized, those with chronic pain and illnesses, those about to undergo surgery, or those recovering from the same, and all who have requested our prayers, especially Ron, Arlene, Doretta, Ron, and Sylvia, that they would be comforted in their suffering with the sure and certain hope of life eternal through Christ their Lord. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who partake of the holy supper of Christ's body and blood this day, that they receive the blessed sacrament in repentance and faith and unto life everlasting. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who have gone before us with the sign of faith and now rest in Jesus, especially Greg and Rick, let us give thanks to the Lord that their families would be comforted by your resurrection and that we would be enlivened by the gospel and sustained in the one true faith until our last hour comes. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
You may be seated. This time we wish to welcome you again to Good Shepherd as we celebrate our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is hope incarnate. At this time, we'd invite you to participate in what we call the Rite of Fellowship. There's a pad at the end of each pew. If you would please take it and sign in and pass it along. Guests and visitors, we're very glad to have you with us this day. We ask that you would provide us your contact information so we can acknowledge your presence with us this day. At this time also, out of the bounty that our Lord has given to us, we receive our gifts and our offerings. and 59. Good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God. And most especially are we bound to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying, he has destroyed death, and by his rising again, he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter and John, with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Mercy on us, and have mercy on us.
its true body, precious blood of our crucified, risen, ascended, and returning Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in the true faith until life everlasting. Depart with peace, with great joy. Your sins are forgiven.
Amen.
We stand and sing our post-communion canticle, Thank the Lord, page 164. Pray. We have thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. We implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
May be seated for our closing hymn, 725. 725.
And welcome, welcome in the name of Jesus, hope incarnate. Thanks be to God. Please check out the Good Shepherd news and notes for all the activities and events in the days and weeks ahead. We have a couple of big youth activities that are coming up, one for our junior high age youth and one for our senior high youth. Pastor, you want to give a little bit of a highlight on that?
Yeah, just real briefly, we have Camp Comica coming up at the end of May. That's for this year's confirmation class and below. And sign-up sheets went out to our students a couple weeks ago. And that's due by the end of the month. Similarly, our senior high trip, which is this year's confirmation class and above, to Colorado, there's a form in our bulletin for that. So fill that out, get that in also by the end of the month.
Okay. Also, we've got a school fundraiser coming up this week.
Yeah. Tuesday night, Raising Games.
Okay, so you can check that out. And a couple of words on the school, since
right.
we don't Oh, they didn't tell me who was doing it this one. All right, Nancy.
Well, I think you probably do.
Well. Should I prove him wrong and really yell?
Jenny did in the first service.
Well, Jenny doesn't have the voice I do. All right, so we want to thank our members for the support you've given to the school and the preschool over the years. I know our preschool teachers and our school teachers have really been honored to share the joy of Jesus with the students that have come through the school, and we hope that you'll prayerfully consider sending your kids, telling your neighbors about the school so that they can send their kids and their kids and their kids and their kids, kind of a thing. If you have any questions, Mrs. Hansen is back at the school table. She's waving her hand back there. I noticed her up at communion. So if you have any questions you'd like to find out about the preschool, she's here to answer those questions. And also those classrooms, from what I understand, are open. So if you want to go and take a peek. We do use the classrooms, the school rooms, for Sunday school, so your kids have probably been in those classrooms over the years. And that's pretty much it. So thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Thanks, Nancy. And the school's a great blessing, and we pray that it continues to be a great blessing. We're very thankful and very honored to have Pastor Salamink among us today, and he's going to be around for a couple of days. He'll certainly be shaking hands and things out there, but he's going to be at Concordia Seward, he's going to be at Lincoln Lutheran, he's going to be here at 8:15 on Tuesday with our school kids for chapel. You might want to tune in if you haven't discovered the Sunday afternoon program where a pastor is interviewed, the Y-Files. That's every Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock, and he'll be on the hot seat there this afternoon. So check that out, a lot of opportunities, and we are very thankful for the work that Lutherans for Life has done and continues to do for the sake of life. Speaking of life, our esteemed vicar here has been pretty sick over the last couple of months, and we're very, very thankful that the Lord has chosen to keep him on this side of heaven for a while. He had a birthday this week, all the way up to
26.
Yeah, so okay, not 12, not 14, but 26. But on Thursday also, he went to Omaha, had a big, very important checkup. And do you want to say it in your terms, or do you want me in my layman's terms to say?
Well, I had a PET scan on Thursday, and it came back completely clear. So that's very good news.
So that means your cancer has not returned.
Right.
Okay.
Cancer has not returned, and all the other news is mostly good.
Nobody can hear you.
Okay. Most all the okay, there we go.
Happy median.
So most the numbers are mostly good. So they're going to still be watching those. They still are fluctuating, and but the Lord has been good, and I want to thank you all again so much. It's been a great comfort, and it's been humbling, all of your prayers and all the support I received from you. So all I can say is thank you, and thanks be to God. So.
In addition to being able to actually work full time again, for which the pastors are very thankful, he can also shake hands, doesn't have to wear a mask, all that kind of stuff. He still has to be a little bit cautious, but he's been avoiding you the last 2 months, but today, today he's back. So. Once again, since we're in the clapping mode, let's thank Pastor Salamink for his wonderful message and presence. Have a blessed day, week, and life in the hope that is yours in Jesus Christ.